ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 7, text 12. Purvavatstapitam gopair. Purvavatstapitam gopair. Balibi saparichadam. Balibi saparichadam Viplahutvacharyam chakrur Viplahutvacharyam chakrur Dadyakshata kusambubi Dadyakshata kusambubi Purvavatstapitam gopar Balibi saparichadam Viprahutvachayam chakrur Dadyakshata kusambubi Others. Vaishnavis. Purvavat, as the handcart had been situated before, Stapitam, again assembled with the pots situated properly. Gopai, by the cowherd men. Balibi, all of whom were very strong and stout. and who could therefore assemble the parts without difficulty. Saparichadam. With all the paraphernalia kept on it. Vipra. The brahmanas. Hutva. After performing a fire ceremony. Archayam. Chakrur. Performed ritualistic ceremonies. Dadi. With curd. Akshita. Grains of rice. Kusha. Of kusha grass. Ambubi. With water. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After the strong, stout cowherd men assembled the pots and paraphernalia on the handcart and set it up as before, the brahmanas performed a ritualistic ceremony with a fire sacrifice to appease the bad planet. And then, with rice grains, kusha, water, and curd, they worship the Supreme Lord. Purport. The handcart was loaded with heavy utensils and other paraphernalia. To set the cart back in its original position required much strength, but this was easily done by the cowherd men. Then, according to the system of Gopa Jati, various Vedic ceremonies were performed to appease the calamitous situation. So I'm going to read on to the next purport here. So that's kind of very short. Yesuyan nirta dambirsha himsamana vivarjita natesham sachasilanam ashisho vipalakrita iti balakam adaya samargyajur upakritai jalai pavitro so dibir abhishya dvijitotamai Vachiyatva svastyayanam nandagopa samahita hutfachagnim dvijatibhya pradat anam mahagunam. Translation. When Brahmins are free from envy, untruthfulness, unnecessary pride, grudges, disturbance by the opulence of others, and false prestige, their blessings never go in vain. Considering this, Nanda Maharaj soberly took Krishna on his lap and invited such truthful Brahmins to perform a ritualistic ceremony according to the holy hymns of the Samaveda, Rigveda, and Yajurveda. Then, while the hymns were being chanted, he bathed the child with water mixed with pure herbs. And after performing a fire ceremony, he sumptuously fed all the Brahmins with first-class grains and other foods. Purport. Nanda Maharaj was very confident about the qualifications of the Brahmanas and their blessings. He was fully confident that simply, if the good Brahmanas showered their blessings, the child Krishna would be happy. The blessings of qualified Brahmanas can bring happiness not only to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but to everyone. Because Krishna is self-sufficient, he does not require anyone's blessings. Yet, Nanda Maharaj thought that Krishna required the blessings of the Brahmanas. What then is to be said of others? In human society, therefore, there must be an ideal class of men, brahmanas, who can bestow blessings upon others, namely, upon the kshatriyas, vaishyas, and sudras, so that everyone will be happy. Krishna, therefore, says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 13, the human society must have four social orders, chaturvana, mayashristam, guna, karma, vibhagasha. It is not that everyone should become a sudra or a vaishya and human society will prosper. As enunciated in Bhagavad Gita, there must be a class of brahmanas with qualities like satya, truthfulness, sama, peacefulness, dhamma, self-control, and titiksha, tolerance. Here also, in the Bhagavatam, Nanda Maharaj invites qualified brahmanas. There may be caste brahmanas, and we have all respect for them, but their birth in brahman families does not mean that they are qualified to bestow blessings upon other members of human society. This is the verdict of the shastras. In the Kali Yuga, caste brahmanas are accepted as brahmanas. Vipratve sutram evahi. Bhagavatam 12.2-3. In Kali Yuga, simply by putting a thread on a, sorry, simply by putting on a thread worth two pice, one becomes a brahmana. Such brahmanas were not called for by Nanda Maharaj. As stated by Narada Muni, Bhagavatam 7.11.35, Yasyayal Lakshanam Proktam. The symptoms of a brahmana are stated in the shastra, and one must be qualified with these symptoms. The blessings of brahmanas who are not envious, disturbed, or puffed up with pride and false prestige, and who are fully qualified with truthfulness, will be useful. Therefore, a class of men must be trained as brahmanas from the very beginning. Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasan Danta Guru Hitam. The word danta is very important. Danta refers to one who is not envious, disturbing, or puffed up with false prestige. With the Krishna consciousness movement, we are trying to introduce such brahmanas in society. Brahmanas must ultimately be Vaishnavas, and if one is a Vaishnava, he has already acquired the qualifications of a brahmana. Brahmabhuta Prasanatma, 1854, Bhagavad Gita 1854. The word Brahmabhuta refers to becoming a brahmana, or understanding what is Brahman. Brahma janati brahmana. One who is a Brahmabhuta is always happy, Prasanatma. Nasoshati nakanchati. He is never disturbed about material necessities. Samak sarveshu bhuteshu. He is ready to bestow blessings upon everyone equally. Mad bhaktim labhate param. Then he becomes a Vaishnava. In this age, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced the sacred thread ceremony for his Vaishnav disciples with the idea that people should understand that when one becomes a Vaishnav, he has already acquired the qualifications of a brahmana. Therefore, in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, those who are twice initiated so as to become brahmanas must bear in mind their great responsibility to be truthful, control the mind and senses, be tolerant, and so on. Then their life will be successful. It was such brahmanas that Nanda Maharaj invited to chant the Vedic hymns, not ordinary brahmanas. Verse 13 distinctly mentions himsa mana. The word mana refers to false prestige or false pride. Those who were falsely proud, thinking that they were brahmanas because they were born in Brahmin families, were never invited by Nanda Maharaj on such occasions. Verse 14 mentions pavitro sodi. In any ritualistic ceremony, many herbs and leaves were required. These were known as pavitra patra. Sometimes there were neem leaves, nimba leaves, sometimes bale leaves, mango leaves, ashvata leaves, amalaki leaves. Similarly, there were panchagavya, panchasasya, and pancharatna. Although Nanda Maharaj belonged to the Vaishya community, everything was known to him. The most important word in these verses is mahagunam, indicating that the brahmanas were offered very palatable food of exalted quality. Such palatable dishes were generally prepared with two things, namely food grains and milk products. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 44, therefore enjoins that human society must give protection to the cows and encourage agriculture. Krishiga raksha vanijam, vaisha karma swabhavajam. Simply by expert cooking, hundreds and thousands of palatable dishes can be prepared from agricultural produce and milk products. This is indicated here by the words anam maha gunam. Still today in India, from these two things, namely food grains and milk, hundreds and thousands of varieties of food are prepared, and then they are offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chator Vidha Sri Bhagavat Prasada Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhakta Parachati. Then the prasad is distributed. Even today in Jagannath Chetra and other big temples, very palatable dishes are offered to the deity, and prasad is distributed profusely, cooked by first-class brahmanas with expert knowledge and then distributed to the public. This prasad is also a blessing for the brahmana, for the brahmanas or Vaishnavas. There are four kinds of prasad, chaturvidha, salty, sweet, sour, and pungent tastes, are made with different types of spices, and the food is prepared in four divisions called charvya, kushya, leha, and peha. Prasad that is chewed, prasad that is licked, prasad that is tasted with the tongue, and prasad that is drunk. Thus, there are many varieties of prasad. prepared very nicely with grains and ghee, offered to the deity and distributed to the brahmanas and Vaishnavas and then to the general public. This is the way of human society. Killing the cows and spoiling the land will not solve the problem of food. This is not civilization. Uncivilized men living in the jungle and being unqualified to produce food by agriculture and cow protection may eat animals, but a perfect human society, advanced in knowledge, must learn how to produce first-class food simply by agriculture and protection of cows. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminitha Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pacharine Nivashesha Sunyavadi Pastajada Shatarane. So starting off with very briefly with text 12 here. In the last line of the purport, Prabhupada says, then according to the system of Gopijata, various Vedic ceremonies were performed to appease the calamitous situation. So it seems like they weren't, from previous verses, it was kind of a little bit unclear that nobody was very, very certain exactly what had happened. The suspicion of the gopas, the gopis and the gopas, was that the cart was haunted. It says here, Sukhatasura was a ghost who had taken shelter of the hand cart and was looking for the opportunity to do mischief. That's what the... that's what the gopis and the gopas thought. And the Brahmins, they thought it was some... As I think mentioned in the translation here, they thought it was a bad planet. So the gopis and the gopas were more closer. In any event, Prabhupada says in the purport that by the arrangement of Yogamaya, all the gopis and gopas thought that the accident had taken place because of some bad planet. They also thought that was some ghost. But in fact, everything was done by Krishna and enjoyed by him. So... It's, you know, when you read that sentence, they performed to appease the calamitous situation. It's like that was a little what was meant by that, but it was a ghost. That's basically, you know, who's like that. Sakatasura was this, said he wanted to do some mischief, so he was haunting that cart in hopes of having an opportunity to do some mischief to Krishna, but Krishna foiled his plan. He was, you know, Krishna was aware of what was going on, and he was a one-year-old baby. This is happening on his first birthday. So imagine he's a little one-year-old baby, you know, as they're observing his first birthday ceremony. His mother was having him in his lap, and she was out there hearing the Brahmins chant the Vedic mantras, you know, because it's very auspicious. And so he got tired. He fell asleep. Krishna fell asleep. So she put him on a little mat. It says a bed, but she put him on a mat, and the mat was underneath the cart. And then, meantime, all the guests are coming. You know, so Mother Yasoda had to... She saw, okay, he's asleep. And it's mentioned in the Krishna book and here, too, that she told some of the kids, you know, who were there, okay, keep an eye on Krishna. You know, just keep an eye on him. Because I have to... Now, I have to get busy. I had all these guests coming. I have to welcome the guests, et cetera, et cetera. So she's doing that. And meantime, you know, the kids are running around playing. They keep in. Okay, so is Krishna okay? Yeah, he's okay. Keep playing. And so meantime, Krishna is very hungry. And because Mother Yasoda forgot to breastfeed him. So he starts crying. He starts crying very loudly. And but she couldn't hear. Because, you know, there's so much... going on, you know, the Brahmins were chanting the Vedic hymns and there was musical instruments and the guests are coming, and so she couldn't, you know, hear him crying. So anyway, so Krishna got very angry because of being hungry, and he just, you know, started kicking up his legs like an ordinary child. And but he's only 1 year old, you know, it's a 1 year old, everybody can visualize a 1 year old, you know, kid on a mat. And so one of his legs touched the wheel of the cart, and then the whole thing just kind of like, you know, exploded into smithereens, so to speak. And, you know, it happened very quickly. He didn't attract a lot of attention when he was crying, so nobody really was aware of what was going on. And then after it happened, you know, all the adults were, what was this? What happened? What happened? You know, is he all right? Is Krishna okay? Yeah, he was fine. And immediately, as mentioned here in this, you know, the strong, stout, coward men, they reassembled everything, the pots, and, you know, they put it all back together again. And they're trying to figure out, well, what the heck was that all about, you know? And they had never a clue, because nobody actually could see what had happened. But the kids, who was, you know, keeping watching Krishna, they came forward and they said that, no, it was, you know, we saw what happened. It was Krishna kicked his leg, and with his foot he touched the wheel of the cart, and the whole thing, you know. And they, really? You know. And some of the you know, adults were buying into the story, and others were going, come on, are you going to believe what these kids have to say? That's ridiculous. That's a one-year-old child can't touch a wheel of a cart with his foot and make the whole thing collapse. You're going to believe what these kids... And they weren't sure, you know, in any event. You know, so that's what was going on. Meantime, Mother Yasoda was very glad to see that Krishna wasn't hurt. And, you know, she wasn't concerned how did it happen. Who cares, you know, Krishna's okay. So she called for the learned Brahmins to chant the Vedic hymns just to counteract the action of the evil spirit. That's the way Prabhupada refers to it. In the Krishna book, and on the, I went back and I actually listened to the Krishna book dictation tape. So, you know, he didn't say, at least in that place, performed ceremonies to appease the calamitous situation. He said they chanted the Vedic hymns to counteract the action of the evil spirit, the ghost that was haunting the cart there, like that. So, and then he goes on to say here that, in the next translation, that it's talking about how Nanda Maharaj, he wanted blessings for Krishna. It says, when the Brahmins are freed from envy, untruthfulness, unnecessary pride, grudges, disturbance by opulence of others, false prestige, their blessings never go in vain. Considering this, Nanda Maharaj soberly took Krishna on his lap and invited such truthful Brahmins to perform a ritualistic ceremony according to the holy hymns of the Sama Veda, Rig Veda, and Yajurveda. Then, while the hymns were being chanted, he bathed the child with water mixed with pure herbs, and after performing a fire ceremony, he sumptuously fed all the Brahmins. Okay, so Prabhupada points out in the purport, Nanda Maharaj was doing this back in those days, and he was really confident that these were qualified Brahmins, you know. And even Prabhupada makes the point that Nanda Maharaj didn't invite the caste Brahmins. He invited the Brahmins that had those qualifications. And their blessings didn't go in vain. See, they actually had potency because they had purity. You know, we've heard that expression, purity is the force. Supposedly Prabhupada said that. Purity is the force. So these Brahmins had purity. You know, they actually had those brahminical qualifications. Was it samo, dhamma, tapasocham, shantir, arjavam, avacha, gyanam, vigyanam, sahitam, brahma, karma, swabhavajam, right? Did I miss one? Astikyam, religiosity. Yeah, so they were, you know, they were sama, dhamma. They were peaceful, self-controlled. Samo, dhamma, tapa, they performed austerities. Socham, they were clean. Shantir, tolerant, truthful. Astic and religious, and they had both knowledge and... Did I miss one? They both had knowledge and realization. So they actually had those qualifications, and because of that, they had potency. And when they gave blessings, they were, you know, for real. They, you know, they came into effect. So that's an important point. Prabhupada points out here in the purport. I don't know if he does point it out here in this purport, but he will go on to say that, and he says it in the Krishna book, that unfortunately, in the age of Kali now, there are no qualified Brahmins. You know, these Vedic ceremonies were performed, and along with the actual ritual that was done, the mantras were chanted. And then the result was there, because the Brahmins were actually qualified. But Prabhupada goes on to say, in the Kali Yuga, there are no qualified Brahmins. And therefore, all the sacrifices are forbidden, you know, because they're not going to produce the desired result, except for one, Sankirtan Yajna. That's it. That's it. That's the only sacrifice that's recommended in this age, because there's no qualified Brahmins to chant the Vedic mantras. So that's a very important point. That that's the jagya. That's the one and only jagya that we're meant to be performing in this day and age, Sankirtan Jagya, because no qualified Brahmins, just these caste Brahmins who promises we offer them all respect, but we're not foolish enough to think that they have the ability to bless the other members of society, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, the Sudras, etc. And so this is the Jagya for the age, Sankirtan Jagya, congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And, that's kind of a very big, important part of what this movement's all about, that we congregationally chant the holy name of the Lord. And it's the congregational part is pretty important. I got a little realization of that as I walked in the door this morning. I came in at about 7:25, and everybody's right in the middle of chanting the Dhammadurastika prayer. And immediately, my immediate reaction was, because the temple was nice and full, everybody was chanting, and, it was very nice with the harmonium and everything. And I immediately felt, this is nice. This feels nice, And then I thought to myself, but, what if I walked in and I was going to do it myself? And I realized, I could do it, but it wouldn't be anywhere near as enjoyable or pleasurable as it was coming into a nice full room of devotees, very happily, devotionally chanting this Dhammadurastika prayer. You could feel the mood. There's an expression, you could cut it with a knife like that. And I could feel it. I could feel like, this is nice. This is pleasant. If I were to come in here and have to do this all by myself, okay, I could do it, but, it wouldn't be anyways near as pleasurable and enjoyable. Same thing with Sankirtan. It's the same thing with, when we're chanting. When we're just like one person out on the street corner chanting by ourselves, that's okay, you can do it, and I'm sure it's some benefit there for yourself and for other people, but when there's a few people, it kind of gets nicer, and when there's more people, it gets better, and the more the merrier. This is a perfect application of that expression, the more the merrier. Sankirtan, congregational chanting, the bigger the congregation, the more pleasurable it is, the more potency it has, for sure, the more potency it has, and the more enjoyable it is for the people who are doing it and for the people who are watching it. And we had experience of that the other night, as Archer kindly showed us, he took those videos on the Halloween Hari Nam. We had like 50 devotees out there at one point. And those of you who saw the videos, you saw not just the 50 devotees chanting, but you saw how the crowds were responding. We had like lots of people, dozens, really, of people joining in and running, chanting and, dancing with the devotees and enjoying it, and plenty watching, standing around watching. So, it's really an important thing. It's what our movement is all about. This is Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy name. And, it's not a difficult thing. Sometimes, we might think it is, but it's like taking a shower in the morning, you never want to do it. I've been taking the cold shower now for 43 and a half years, and every morning it's kind of like, when it's time to actually get under that water, the mind goes, no, I don't want to do it. But you just got to just do it, and immediately, it's like within seconds, you're okay. You just feel like, what was that word? This is nice. This feels good. The body responds, and you feel good. But there's always that hesitation there. So it's the same thing. There's always that, the mind is always going to come up with that excuse why not to, get out there and go on the Hari Nam on Friday and Saturday night. It's like, I'm a little tired. Or like, I need to do this. Or it's just like, it's the same thing. It's just, you just got to go, no, we're going. Boom. And you just get out, just walk out, put on your shoes, walk out the door, or vice versa, walk out the door, put on your shoes, depending on what your setup is. And just go, and you do it, and it's actually good. It's just like hopping in the shower. Once you get in there, you're fine. Once you just step out the door and you go out there, you're fine. So lately, we've been getting increasing numbers of devotees going on the Hari Nam. We've been getting like between 20 and 25 on an ordinary Hari Nam. So it's building up. And I can honestly say I just started going out about 4, 5, 6 months ago. I kind of lost track. But the Harinams are getting more and more accomplished. I mean, this is no... New Dwarka doesn't have any kind of like... You know, used to. I would admit, in the past, it was a bit of a joke almost, you know. It was like, you know, a dozen devotees going out, people looking all over the... Devotees looking all over this direction, that direction, spacing out. And, you know, the Kirtan leaders weren't really that together, you know. But not now. Uh-uh. It's changed. It's evolved. We've progressed. We have a together Harinam. We have a together Harinam. There's a dedicated crew, and we have serious Harinam, you know, Kirtan leaders. We have about like six different devotees who lead, or, you know, more. Everybody's welcome to take a shot at it, but who know what they're doing. You know, when it's their turn to lead, they're leading good. You know, they good tunes. They know how to do it. They've been practicing, and they got it down. So it's a really together Harinam. You know, we have very senior devotees who have taken responsibility to make sure it happens. And, it's good. It's actually, you won't be embarrassed. You won't feel uncomfortable going out on Harinam. And 2 nights a week, I highly recommend it. It's something, it's like the, you know, in the morning here. Everybody likes this because, you know, when we chant the Dham Dharasik prayers, we're all in it together. You know, it's that good feeling. It's like, you know, we're doing a devotional activity in it with, you know, as a community. And it feels good. Same thing with the Harinam. Same thing. When you get out there, it's you know, I mean, the chanting is potent, and there's that, yeah, that sense of community, and that we're all doing this together. And it's like a nonverbal communication that you have with the other devotees. You just appreciate. You don't say a word. I mean, I don't talk to any of the other devotees on the Harinam, but you just appreciate everybody. Oh, so and so came out. You know, and so was chanting. And you just, I don't know, it just helps you feel closer to everybody. You know, it's a Yuga Dharma, by the way, you know, but it's a very strengthening activity, even on many different levels. It's a very enriching and strengthening activity, you know, for the community. You feel devotionally enhanced and enriched by doing it, okay? And people respond. You know, now we're, you know, this is the low season now here in Los Angeles from I guess it was Labor Day weekend to, you know, probably when it starts warming up again in April or something like that. So the crowds are kind of down. But, you know, during the summer, August and early September, we have great spots. I mean, I'm from New York, okay? I joined in New York in 73, so I know what a good Harinam spot is, because we used to go down to right 42nd Street, Times Square, like that. And these are comparable. You know, I mean, we do Santa Monica Promenade, and during the summer months, there are lots of people. I mean, and they're from all over the place. You could see this tourists from all over the place. It's a first-class spot. And Hollywood. Hollywood is... even Hollywood, actually, maybe the crowds... possibly aren't down in Hollywood. Hollywood is you know, all around the year. It's just flooded with people. So we have good spots. You know, we have good spots. We have a good together team now, you know, heading it up. We got like a core crew. So I'd like to encourage everybody to just give it a go. Try. Come out one Friday or Saturday evening and see how you like it. Everybody hears the announcement. It leaves at 5:30. You're back here by 8:30. They've made an arrangement so the devotees can dash in and get prasadam in the restaurant free if anybody's hungry when they get back. That's all been set up. So it's a together program. It's it's 5:30 to 8:30. It's 3 hours. It's a nice, you know, an investment of time and energy. You know, chanting for like 2 hours solid and associating with devotees on the ride out and the ride back. And people deserve this. Just before I was, you know, I came in here, as I said, 7:25, and I was just thinking, okay, I got 5 minutes. Let me get my head together and give this class, you know. And my Sankirtan partner comes over to me, Jai Chaitanya, and he goes, hey, can I show you this video? I thought to myself, dude, are you kidding? I got 5 minutes left. I mean, I'm going to try to get my head together to give this class. Will you come and you want me to watch a video? I said, Prabhu, I'm just about to give the class. He said, it was 1 minute. I said, are you sure? Okay, well, 1 minute? Okay. So I figured, all right, you know, he never hardly, you know. Anyway, so I said, okay. So I went outside and he showed me this video, 1 minute video. It was of a lady who got a book at UCLA, 60-year-old lady. You know, and he's been doing this thing where the people who, you know, take a bunch of books and seem to be into it. He asks him, I want to take a video of you, and I just want you to talk about why you took the books, you know? So, this lady said, okay, sure. 60-year-old lady, she was kind of fat, you know? And so she's holding a few books, and he starts the video. And she starts talking about how, you know, she's trying to get her, life together, and she become a vegetarian recently, and she wants to get into some spiritual things. But the thing that struck me was, her, like, sincerity. And I thought, and just like how well she spoke. There she was. She was just being asked on the spur of the moment to say something about why she took the books. And man, she did a good job. She did a really good job. You know, she spoke really well. It was almost like watching somebody on television, an actor on television. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, man, people deserve a break. You know, people deserve a break. Human beings, we're always hearing, and it's true in the philosophy, you know, that everybody's close, Sudra Sambhavan, everybody's born Sudra Low in the Kali Yuga, and, you know, most of these people are demons, and this, like, you know, we hear a lot of negative stuff about the people who aren't devotees, and it's Shastric, so it's true. But at the same time, there's a lot of decent human beings out there. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are, they're just like nice, they seem like nice people to me when I meet them. You know, I'm sure that what the Shastra says is correct, but at the same time, just seem like nice people. So they deserve an opportunity to come in contact with Krishna consciousness and take up devotional service, like this lady. You know, my heart went out to her when I heard her speak. I could just see that this is a nice lady, 60-year-old lady. She's trying to, you know, get a life together. She was intelligent. She spoke well, you know, with all smiles and nice emotions and everything. There's thousands of people out there like that. I mean, you can't put a number on it how many people there are in that category. Those devotees who go out on Sankirtan book distribution, they know because they're meeting them every day, right? You're meeting them every day. They come up to the table. We stop them, you know. So they deserve an opportunity. So that's what, that's what we have to do. We have to go out there and try to give them that opportunity. And it's the Sankirtan movement, everything. It's designed so perfectly. Actually, when Prabhupada, and I think it was in the last letter Prabhupada received from a spiritual master, I think Prabhupada mentioned in the class yesterday, he did, about how he was thinking, you know, oh my God brothers, they're sannyasis, they're serving you directly, they're living with you, I'm a grihastha, I can't do any direct service to you, how can I serve you? And his spiritual master wrote back, my dear such and such, Prabhupada put it, my dear, so humble, my dear such and such, you know, I want you to, you know, preach this philosophy in the English language to the Western people. And what he didn't mention in the class, but I'm pretty sure it was in the letter, he said, it'll be good for you, it'll be good for them. See, so that's the beauty of the Sankirtan movement. It's set up in such a way that, you know, the thing that we're doing to benefit other people, it's also good for us. You see, like when we go out on Sankirtan, the main beneficiaries of the Sankirtan Jagya are the people who are us. You know, the devotees who are going out chanting or going out distributing books. So it's not like we lose out. You know, we have to, you know, be nailed up on a cross or something like that. No, we're doing something that's good for us, and it's good for those people as well. And it's just if you're not convinced enough yet, just to convince her, I compiled this notebook years ago. But what it is I titled it Save on Mukhi Hi Jiva Do. And the reason I did this is because I was listening to lectures of, you know, Prabhupada, and I kept repeatedly hearing this instruction come up. The instruction of like how devotional service begins with the tongue. The tongue has two functions. One is tasting and one is vibrating. And Prabhupada in lectures, when you listen to enough of them, it keeps coming up. You keep hearing repeatedly saying that, yeah, this is our Krishna conscious movement. Devotional service begins with the tongue. Tongue is meant for tasting. It's meant for vibrating. So, yeah, as I said, this is the basis of Krishna consciousness. You know, to chant the holy name ourselves, and try to encourage other people to chant the holy name. And as mentioned here in this purport, to offer foodstuffs you know, offer to Krishna and create prasadam, honor it ourselves and distribute it to other people. And just by that, you know, just by those simple activities, that's like our main program. From what I could understand, that was, you know, Prabhupada's main program for engaging the masses of people, chanting and prasadam distribution. And by wholeheartedly and seriously engaging in those activities, we're guaranteed to become Krishna conscious. Our advancement is solid, and we're doing what the best thing that can be done for the people of this age. People are distracted. You know, it's not that people, as I said, I'm not going to contradict myself within the last, you know, 10 minutes. People are intelligent, but they're distracted like anything. Poor people, you know. I mean, it's so hard to be a human being these days. You got, when I was a kid, you had television. Now you got, and it was about 7 stations. Now there's about 50-something stations. There's internet. There's this, there's that. People are distracted. It's very hard for people to focus on, you know, something. And there's so much hodgepodge out there. I think, who was it? The devotee from Ojai, what's his name? Maheshwar, sorry. Yeah, I know. I'm a friend of mine. I just couldn't remember his name. Maheshwar spoke yesterday. He was talking about this spiritual IQ test he gave to the people in Ojai. And they, you know, they averaged about, devotees would get like 10 out of 10 generally, but the people in Ojai were getting like on an average of 2.5 out of 10. You know? So there's so much hodgepodge out there. There's so much distraction. We can't expect, you know, we experience this when we try to preach to people. It's hard to give them the philosophy, but keep it simple. You know, this is our program. Just at least to start off with everybody, give them prasadam, let them, you know, engage them in the chanting, get them to try to chant, get them to prasadam, and then philosophy. And Prabhupada said that. I won't be able to find it right now at the spur of the moment, but there was one lecture where Prabhupada said exactly like that. He said, get, you know, just have them come, chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, go home. And philosophy, you know, as they can come regularly and then the brains get a little bit, you know, consciousness gets a little bit cleared out, then the philosophy gradually, you know. So anyway, I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Bad planets. Well, I don't know much about that. I heard Saturn is a pretty considered. What are the bad planets, and what are their influences on human beings? I don't know much about that. To be honest with you, I know Saturn is a bad planet. I've always heard, never heard any good things about Saturn. Sunny, you know, but I don't really know. I don't know. Does anybody know anything much about that? I'm Lavakti Maharaj. Right.
Right.
I like that analogy of punch and counterpunch. So I'll just conclude this class just because we're all talking about blessings. So please, this is a request to all the devotees who are hearing this on the internet or who are here, give us your blessings. Come on the Harinam Friday, Saturday night. He's here 5:30, gets back 8:30. Really nice, simple activity, but very important. Thanks. Jai. Grantara Shima Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Can you remember to bring the Lexus key when you come?
Lexus key, yeah. Do you want this for the table? Not really. I'll give it to somebody. Welcome home. Where's Puri?
He's chanting in the van. Chanting Japa.
Okay.
Actually, at one point he said that Prabhupada...